And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
Today in the Petswood studio of Lutheran Radio UK, we are delighted to welcome the Reverend James May, who is a director of two organisations, Lutherans in Africa and the Lutheran Heritage Foundation Africa. Pastor James, tell us something about yourself.
So my name is Reverend James May. I am the director of Lutherans in Africa and Lutheran Heritage Foundation Africa. It's not something I always wanted to do or even planned to do. In fact, when I was growing up, I wasn't too much involved in the church. When I was in the Boy Scouts, I attended a Methodist church, but in America, the United Methodist Church is a little bit liberal, and also the teachings are not so strongly attached to the Bible. In fact, even after, it wasn't until after confirmation that we were given our first Bible. Basically, the message was, be a good person and you go to heaven, which I think is the message that most people in the world understand what Christianity is. So when I first, when I went to college, I studied to be an architect, and I figured as far as my soul, my spiritual life was concerned, I would be going to heaven because, well, I was a good person and I was a Boy Scout and I did all these good things. But in college, I wasn't involved in any churches there. There was no Christian outreach that I was aware of. So instead, I became like everyone else. I got involved in fraternities and drinking and partying and girls and all the things that go along with college life in America, which can lead to a life that might be a lot of fun on Saturday night, but on Sunday morning isn't so fun. And this is when I, probably my fourth year in college, I was really looking for something that was more meaningful. You know, where is my life going? And you know, I had an opportunity to do an exchange through university studies in Portsmouth, England. But actually, life got worse rather than better. And then as I continued, then there had another opportunity to do an exchange in Greece, in Thessaloniki, Greece. And this is where I met my would-be wife in the future. Her name is Tina, and she's from Finland. And she's a very attractive and friendly girl, and she kept on telling me how God was important to her, and yes, and architecture is important to me. But one of the most impactful things that she did was, one, being patient, but then second, just give me the Gospel of John to read. And of course, when a pretty girl gives you something, you can read a little book like the Gospel of John. And when I read this, I read about a Jesus who doesn't go around wagging his finger and telling people, you must live like this or you won't go to heaven, which is what I thought Christianity was. But instead, there's a Jesus who is compassionate, merciful, and who forgives sins. And it just completely rocked my world. And I wanted to know more about this Jesus. So I went back to America, and I went out and got that confirmation Bible that I was given at the Methodist Church. And like with all books, I started reading from the beginning because I thought that's how you read a book. But as you get through the genealogies and histories, things get quite difficult and dull. So that was one of the first times I prayed. I remember praying at the University of Cincinnati that if there is a God, I want to know who he is. And the very next day I met a man, first time in 5 years at the University of Cincinnati, on campus, who asked me if I would come to Bible study. And he gave me a copy of the Bible and the New International Version, the NIV version of the Bible, and started having Bible studies and learning more about Jesus. And then when my wife came over from Finland, we started attending the Lutheran church. And the pastor was so patient with me with all the different questions I had. And one of the most impactful things was not only him being patient, but him using the catechism, Luther's small catechism, which some people might find strange. But the reason that Luther's small catechism is so useful is because it has many of the questions that people ask, that people want to know about the Bible. And especially in the questions and answers section of the catechism, the questions are there, but the answers are something that you wouldn't expect. The answers are not what Martin Luther thinks, nor what human reason says, but Luther points you toward what Scripture says. The Bible says this. Here is where it's written in the Bible.
So it all started before you met Tina. Now you have six kids. How on earth do you manage?
I don't know how we manage, by the grace of God.
What college did you attend?
Well, I graduated from the University of Cincinnati with a degree in architecture. And already after becoming a Lutheran, then my pastor was always suggesting to me, oh, you should become a pastor, because now you've understood what the forgiveness of sins is and what Jesus does for you, rather than the more common understanding of what you have to do for Jesus. No, it's all about what Jesus does for you. And although it sounded nice, after studying for 6 years and having a lot of college debt, I said, no, I have to work as an architect to pay off my debts. So, but actually, I instead of going directly into the work field, I did a graduate program in Finland, studying architecture there, but always because of what Christ had done for me, so impactful. Even while studying architecture in Finland, my wife and I, we were involved. We were married before I graduated from Cincinnati. When we were in Finland, we were already involved in doing an outreach to international students, because there was no Bible study or worship service for international students, nothing in English, at the University of Helsinki. So we started that, and that this is what half of our time was, bringing Christ to those who have never heard him on the university campus, and then the other half of the time studying architecture. And then it happened, there was a man from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who was a missionary in St. Petersburg, Russia, and he ended up at our church in downtown Helsinki because his wife needed to have heart surgery. He was a missionary in Russia, but it's better to have heart surgery in Finland than in Russia. So while he was there, his wife needed to recuperate for about 10 weeks, and he was telling me about the work he was doing in Russia. And he really wanted me to come there, and because I had this summer break coming up after the studies, I said, okay, I'll come and work with you. And he bought me my train ticket, my visa and everything. But then, unfortunately, or so I thought, it happened that I couldn't go with him because the insurance policy made him return to America, so his wife continued to recuperate there. And I had this train ticket and visa and nowhere to go. And then a week before my train ticket was scheduled to go to St. Petersburg, there was a man who came from Russia who said he needed help at the Christian orphanages there, if there's anyone who knew how to build classrooms and furniture.
How providential.
So I went there, but this orphanage was run by Pentecostals, and the teaching was, not what I understood what the Bible had said. They were basing a lot more things on feelings and dreams and revelations, and I didn't know how to respond. I really enjoyed building. I really enjoyed working with the children. I would build in the morning, and then afternoons they would ask me to teach Bible study to the children. But I had difficulty articulating the Christian faith. So I had this idea, what if I go to the seminary to study to become a pastor, since I've been encouraged to do so by my pastor in America, my pastor in Finland. How about if I do that, but I'll go back to Russia and I'll work part-time as an architect, part-time as a pastor. So I went back to America, and I didn't know this, but in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, when you graduate, you don't get to decide where you go. It's the church who decides. So although my wife is from Finland, and myself, I'm from Cleveland, and we like the cold weather, and we like snow and wintertime, nevertheless, when I graduated from the seminary, they decided to send us to Burkina Faso in West Africa.
So from an architect working for yourself, you now work for the architecture of the universe. You didn't go back to Russia, but God sent you to Africa. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, Africa, that's definitely a whole big learning experience for me. It's so challenging. I mean, one, I was in West Africa, in Burkina Faso, which is a former French colony. So although the people speak indigenous languages, as far as their national language, it's French, and which I didn't speak French. And already the first day, we arrived December 23rd, 2006. My wife and I, and we, at that time we had four children. We now have six, but at that time we had four. We had sold all our belongings, and the rest we had 16 suitcases of things to take with us. When we arrived December 23rd, 2006, not one of our suitcases arrived with us, which really sped up our language learning, because if you wanted to eat, if you wanted to have clothes, then you needed to learn the language, get to know the people. And that was the real introduction into the culture and the people of Africa.
So communication is essential, and that is what is at the core of the proclamation of the good news, not only to proclaim it from above down to the people, but at the people's levels, and engaging and talking to them and befriending them and living out the life of the new Christian where they are. So what are the challenges and the joys of your work in Africa?
Yeah, actually, well, you just mentioned it in your question when you talk about speaking them at their level. because even though I learned how to speak French, still French is one language, but actually the Bible has another language. As a Bible, you can call it theology, you know, words about God. And with the Bible, there are many words that need definition and understanding, such as the words repentance or righteousness or justification or even things like baptism. And these are the things that people really wanted to know. And sometimes when you go to study to your pastor, you use words and you don't really know what they mean. So the Africans taught me a lot when they asked me, what is righteousness? What is repentance? And then I started to realize that not all churches define these words the same way. And it changes. This is how we get denominations. We get denominations because they have different definitions of the words. So it really drove me to study how does the Bible itself define these words? And when we're able to do that together, not just myself, but, you know, doing a Bible study group with people from Burkina Faso, then we understood what God was trying to say to us. So I could give a very big and clear example. Because also, you know, I first started as a church planner in Burkina Faso, but now I'm a director of these two organizations, which I can explain in a minute. But a large part of it is translating books into local languages. But one example I can give is the word repentance. Repentance to a Baptist is very different than repentance to a Lutheran. And if you look at the Bible, you can find out which church is defining according to the Bible and which church is defining according to their own theology. So for the Baptist, they would teach that repentance means, from Mark chapter 1, that you must stop sinning and you must do good works or else Jesus won't come to you. And unfortunately, this is also what you find in the Good News translation of the Bible, which is not a translation, it's an interpretation. If you look at Mark chapter 1 and listen to what John the Baptist himself says, repentance is confessing your sins and receiving forgiveness from God. And when we understand that Jesus comes to us when we confess that we are sick, we're sick in our sins, and the only one who can give us healing and help is Jesus Christ.
So we are on the receiving end, isn't that right? And there is only one definition that is right to all those words that you mention. And it comes to show how important the work you do is in translating the Hebrew and the Greek into these languages so that the understanding of these words is the right one. Keep up the good work. So you're in charge of these two organizations. Can you tell us a bit more about them?
Right. So the Lutheran Heritage Foundation Africa is associated with the Lutheran Heritage Foundation in America. And their goal, their mission is to translate Lutheran Bible study material into local languages, and they also assist with the publication of these books. We get a grant each year from them to do work in Africa. Now, after the books are translated, we cooperate, we work with different translators in the different African countries. After the books are translated, now training is needed for pastors and evangelists, and that's where Lutherans in Africa comes in. So Lutherans in Africa, our website, lutheransinafrica.com, and there we take these books that have been translated and published. We distribute them to pastors and evangelists so they may use them in the churches. And basically, it's teaching the same things that I just mentioned, teaching people what the Bible says, that the definitions, the foundation of the Christian faith. I just said pastors and evangelists, and I would like to expound a little bit on that. In Africa, there are pastors and evangelists, and a pastor is someone who has gone to a seminary or Bible school, received education, and is ordained. But an evangelist is someone who has not had any education, but he leads a congregation on Sunday mornings. In fact, the evangelists far outnumber the pastors. And the reason for that is people in Africa are so hungry to hear the gospel. They want to know about Jesus Christ. They want to understand the Bible better. For instance, the Lutheran Church in Madagascar, that can be an example. Every single month, they start 12 new congregations. But then the number of pastors being trained does not supply the need and the desire of the number of congregations there are. The reason this is a problem is then you have these evangelists come up, and they are godly men who desire to serve the Lord. But when they don't have any training, they're very susceptible to heresies and the twisting of God's word. We see even in the beginning of the Bible, this is how the devil tricked Eve. He said, did God really say? And even when you look at when Jesus was tempted in the desert, the same thing happens. The devil was even using God's word, but he was twisting it to try to get Jesus to turn from the truth. But of course, he's the Son of God, so that won't happen. But because we are fallible human beings, we are often tricked and deceived by the devil's games. Therefore, these evangelists, they need training, and also they ask for it. But there's no one providing them with books to help them understand the Bible. Many of them don't even have a Bible themselves. So people in America and Europe, they really do want to help, but sometimes they're not helping in the best way they can, not in the way the church is supposed to help. When we talk about, I hear this word, this great commission, how we're supposed to go to all nations. Well, it's more than just to all nations. Jesus sent people for specific reasons. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. There's two things, baptizing and teaching. But unfortunately, what we see most often when in Christian missions are people are going over with good intentions and good desires, and instead of giving God's word, they give food only of this world. I mean, regular bread, regular clothes, regular medicine, which are all good, but they don't give eternal life. So really, we need more help. I'm a missionary by myself in these organizations, but we do have a staff of other Africans who work with us. But we could use more missionaries, more support, because, well, most people don't realize it looks like Africa is small on the map, but it's actually 2.5 times the size of the United States.
Talking about your needs in Africa, what would be your top 3 needs for our listeners should they want to help in any way? How do they do that?
One, let me always start with prayer, because the devil knows that Jesus saves. He doesn't want people going to heaven. The devil wants people with him. And there are so many terrible things that happen in Africa with atrocities and genocides and wars and tribalism, but also other ways the devil works with heresy and confusion and lack of understanding of God's word and drawing people toward Islam or Pentecostalism. So first of all, pray that the work we may do may be in accordance with God's word and be a blessing to the hearers, that they may know Christ and be saved. And then secondly, you can take a look at the website where each month we're in a different country offering training seminars, but it costs money for these training seminars. To train an evangelist, a single person, it usually costs about $150 per week. That covers his transportation, his lodging, and his food. And we like to have about anywhere from 30 to 40 people participate each month. And the great thing about that is when we train pastors and evangelists, now they go to their congregations, and each of them are serving 200 people or 400 people, so it really multiplies the work. That's a really great way. On our website, you can find out how to connect there. Well, the next one, Elizabeth, we really need another missionary just because of so many countries that we work in. Another missionary, pray for another missionary and help us support us so that we can put another missionary or two on the field. And then maybe if I can add a fourth one, we'd like to have a new mission center. The work that I'm doing was not started by me. It was started by a Finnish pastor. His name is Reverend Dr. Anssi Simioki. He was first sent over to Africa in the year 1989. And so the work, this is how it came up to be, that we're working in 20 different countries. He's established with relationships with all these church leaders. And when he called me to work there, he was looking for someone who could stay for 30 years or longer. I've been in Africa now since 2006, and I plan to be there till the Lord takes me out. But we really need to move away from, right now, we've been renting our facilities from the year 1996 up until present. And what we would really like to do is have a permanent location, a permanent training facility, where sometimes we can invite people to our location and have a library where people can study more in depth, more than just a Bible and a catechism, but having a library where they can train and have their own professors and their own teachers. Because if you just look at things, it looks quite bleak in Europe and America, and it seems that Christianity is moving away from there into Africa and Asia and other places. So this is really the advent of the future, the things that are coming. It's Africa might be the ones who are going to be the missionaries of the future and of the age to come. So getting a good theological foundation for them will really help the church of the ages to come.
Recently, we were talking to an American pastor, Chris Lebou, in Ghana doing similar work, and he was talking about the challenges. He said one very interesting thing. The simple fact that you're an outsider means to them that you are already bringing something new to them, and they respect you. They welcome you for that once, and when you explain the reason why you are there, they will welcome you again for you to extend and explain further the purpose of your missionary work and the proclamation of the good news. And that is a beautiful thing. Here we have, in the UK and Europe, access to all these wonderful words of proclamation around us, and many people ignore them. I wish we could welcome it in the same way. You mentioned your website. Could you repeat it so that our listeners can check it out?
Yeah, the website is lutheransinafrica.com. No spaces or dashes, just all run together, lutheransinafrica.com.
Thank you very much for coming into the Lutheran Radio studio. We wish you a safe return home and every blessing on your work, and our prayers for everything. My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you, and goodbye for now.
This is Lutheran Radio UK, the radio station of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.